We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back. It's quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show. You know what that means. It's Ask Greg time. Our own Gregory Pickle here is going to answer your Penn State football questions and recruiting questions as well. I'm Dustin Hockensmith, by the way. This segment brought to you by tailgatewine.com. If you're looking for a unique gift idea, doesn't matter the occasion for that Penn State fan in your life, check out tailgatewine.com. And the blue and white wine gift box, they have some wine and barbecue packages with sauces and rubs you can check out. It's all at tailgatewine.com, where great wine meets great barbecue. And the good folks at tailgatewine.com, as we do each and every week, for the best question asked here on Ask Greg, we will be giving away a bottle of tailgate wine. So Greg is going to determine that as we work our way through your questions. If you don't know how to fire off your questions, you can do that. Download the Keystone Sports app. I think you should have it anyway by now, but there's a button that makes it nice and easy. 30 seconds, you can ask a question of Greg here using the Ask Greg button on the Keystone Sports app, which is available on all your mobile devices. Let's get this thing started here, Greg. I want to circle back. This one came in, I think, a couple weeks ago, but I think it's still pretty timely today. It's a fair discussion considering that James Franklin just this past week was talking about courting transfers. And so Trisha wants to know, she's from Fishtown. Is Fishtown real or is that – I'll assume it's real. Says, since Tate Martell was granted a hardship waiver effectively jump-starting college free agency, fair assessment, does this put more pressure on Franklin to play freshmen or fringe starters in fear of losing them in the offseason? I would add Justin Fields to that. That whole transaction there, Justin Fields comes in, he gets a hardship waiver from Georgia, Tate Martell leaves Ohio State, he gets a hardship waiver as well. The question is, who doesn't get a hardship waiver? And as we get into this, the fear of college football turning into a free agency every spring.
Well, I mean, honestly, I think at this point, I wish we had more detail about all the reasons why all the reasons why Tate Martell and Justin Fields had their transfer waiver approved. I think that's sort of the problem, is that, you know, there's not a lot of transparency here. And I get that there's privacy issues and we're talking about, you know, guys that are 18, 19 years old. I understand all that, but it, almost just like everything else, if you don't have transparency, you're open to this kind of criticism and this kind of skepticism and all that. So I do think at this point, Dustin, unless there's some kind of clear guidelines put out about how this all works, then yeah, we probably will see this each and every spring, because what's going to stop it?
So here's the thing. As you mentioned, there's a lot that we don't know yet about how the ease with which players can now transfer is going to impact the game of college football. But what we do know is a lot of big time programs were already burning through red shirts at a rate that might surprise you. Your Alabamas and Ohio States, they're getting guys on the field. Maybe some they have ticketed as being 3-year players no matter what, so you might as well get value out of them. What you also have at Penn State is a stated desire to graduate guys in 3 or 3.5 years, which is going to open up their transfer window without any penalty as grad transfers. So Penn State, I think, is going to have an above average number of guys who are going to grad transfer, not just leave because right. They're unhappy, but be able to have the freedom to transfer as a grad and give yourself more options without penalty. So for Penn State, I think you're going to see, you know, there were already incentives in college football to play more freshmen anyway.
Right.
And I thought last year a little bit of a breakthrough when it comes to roster management with Jesse Luketa, who was never really going to be ticketed to play a role in the linebacker core, but he burned his red shirt by playing on special teams. Maybe part of that strategy was he would be more prepared to play linebacker if needed,
right.
If he had a role on special teams. But maybe it was just we're going to use this guy on special teams because he brings value right now
right.
to our special teams. So I think the decision making is going to skew even more towards playing freshmen as opposed to not. Not to mention, you know, to get four games free out of a player and to be able to make that determination, you're going to learn. You're going to get a chance to learn whether freshmen can cut it or not. And if they can, Jahan Dotson maybe is good as a good example of that. If they can, then you burn their redshirt then too. So I think the hardship waiver plays into this, but there's bigger forces at play here. I think is my answer to the question. If it were asked Dustin, that's how I would respond to it.
Yeah, no, I think it makes perfect sense.
Let's see, Brad from Texas City. We have talked a lot about the transfer portal in terms of who's leaving, but besides George Campbell, who else might be coming? Anyone besides Eric Kuma? I know RJ Proctor already committed to Oklahoma. It's tricky, you know, trying to have specific names at this point.
Right.
I think maybe specific names, we'll start to learn more about them in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, that's 100% right. I mean, I think obviously, you know, we've heard of a couple of guys, Proctor, Kuma from Virginia, obviously George Campbell from Florida State's already planning on coming to Penn State. The Weston Cross kid was there over the weekend, receiver, D2 All-American. So there's some names that have popped up, but more will come, especially for the Blue-White game.
Andy from Falls Church, Virginia. Do you think that new special teams coach Joe Lorig will quickly replace Jake Pinneger if he struggles in early games? Also, will Penn State use a scholarship on a punter in the 2020 class?
Ooh, good question.
Two good questions there, yeah.
Yes, on the punter. I think Penn State has to. They know Blake Gillikin's going to be leaving. Do they have some guys that are walk-ons that maybe could win the job? Sure, but I think obviously if you can afford, and Penn State can in this class, to take a punter that is one of the best in the country, you do. So Penn State, watch, keep an eye out for that. They will try and do that. And then as it relates to, Joe Lorig and Jake Pinneger, I mean, I think Jake Pinneger is the guy for Penn State, and I don't expect that to change. But if it is going to change, I think that you have to obviously have somebody behind him ready to go. You know, you can't just switch him out to somebody else and then have that guy struggle. So it's going to be about as much about Jake Pinneger's success and failures as it is, the opportunity of guys behind him and how good they tend to be.
Good question, both of them. We don't really discuss special teams as much this time of year as maybe we should, but in Penn State's case, they struggled to the point where we need to be talking about that, and then they brought in a change of leadership now with Joe Lorig, so I think it's fair to wonder how his approach might vary, but I think you're right. If it's not Jake Pinneger, who's it going to be? I think you got to ride with the kid. I don't think he needs a short leash just yet. So we'll see what happens with him and Lorig as the season gets started. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is Ask Greg, brought to you by tailgatewine.com, where great wine meets great barbecue. The best question of the day from you guys for Greg Pickle here. Get a bottle of Tailgate Wine. You can fire off a question to Greg by downloading the Keystone Sports app, clicking the Ask Greg button, and using the app accordingly. Steve from Arlington, any chance we see more two tight end sets this year? Seems like there is depth at the position and can keep a defense honest since he can run or throw out of it like what O'Brien did in 2012.
Certainly, I think it's a possibility. I mean, obviously, Nick Bauer seems to have taken a nice step forward this spring. Pat Freiermuth is still going to be the guy, and Penn State has some uncertainties at wide receiver. So you put all those things together, and sure, there would be opportunity to get more two tight end sets. And I think we saw some of those, Dustin, when Ricky Ronnie was calling plays in the Citrus Bowl, if I'm not mistaken. So it's not like Ricky Ronnie never dialed those up, but certainly I think there's room to do it a bit more in 2019.
Here's a good question that has nothing to do with football, and they've been some of our better questions over the last couple weeks is off the beaten path. So Mike from Reading wants to know, he says, hey, I love your day of game dash cam videos with Bob Flanders. Do you guys day trip it or stay up for the weekend? Just wondering what your favorite watering hole is in State College. Mike's is Federal Tap House. And your favorite Big Ten road trip watering hole? Any embarrassing Bob Flanders stories?
Wow, all kinds of
questions.
There's
a lot to get to.
I was going to say, there's a lot to get to. I don't know if we have enough time left in the segment. Day trip for Penn State home games, so we don't hang around and enjoy the festivities post-game. Sounds like a lot of people love that new Champs downtown, though. So I guess people are excited about that. As for best Big Ten road trip, everyone says Minnesota is the best Big Ten road trip, but we have not been there yet. We'll go there this year, so we'll have to wait and see. I always find the Chicago, any of the Chicago legs, Illinois or Northwestern, to be enjoyable. And it's definitely not Rutgers. It's definitely not Purdue. It's definitely not Indiana. Michigan's not terrible. Michigan State. So, yeah, I guess I'd go with the Chicago ones.
Hard to argue with that. And any ones where there's a, you know, it's a city atmosphere and you get all the upshot of being a visitor in a city on a Friday night.
Right.
You know, that's ultimate. That's what you're looking for. So, I guess that's probably part of being, you know, Minnesota, being in Minneapolis.
Right.
It gives you some more stuff to do. Any embarrassing Bob Flanders stories? I don't think you would tell him anyway, but Bob is interesting because he's so like, carefree,
right.
And but like he is who he is, whether he's been to a watering hole,
right.
Or hasn't been to a watering hole. He's this weird mix of loose and sarcastic, but also kind of like in control of himself,
right.
For the most part.
Yes.
But, you've probably seen a different Bob Flanders than I've seen, though, in some of these situations.
Yes, I can say that's probably true. But no, it's I got nothing worth sharing on the air. Put it that way.
Yeah, not that you don't deserve to hear Bob Flanders stories, Mike. No, I'm not going to throw Bob under the bus. Now, Dave Jones stories, on the other hand, there are a lot of Dave Jones stories. That's a different story for a different day. I wanted to circle back. Oh, Nate from Mars, PA. Over, under 15 composite blue chip recruits in the 2020 class.
That's an interesting question. Over, under 15.
You got to think this class is at least close to 25, right?
Right.
And if Penn State, the way that they recruited, is going to get 25.
Right. And four or five are four stars.
Yes.
The only one that's not is Grant Tuitton. And it looks like he had a really nice day
he
at the opening.
I think he could move up.
Yeah. So you're talking maybe five of the first five as four star recruits. So that means you need 10 more.
Possibly 20.
Right. And that sounds plenty doable. So I'm going to say yes over that number.
The way that they've recruited a 60% blue chip ratio, I don't know what it's been, but over the last – over the 18 and 19 classes, I have to think that it's been over 60%. Here's just one that probably warrants a quick answer, our last question here. James from Midland. Since we've been talking about running backs playing by committee, could someone like Parsons take on a back role?
I don't think so. I think that's asking him to do too much. Could they do something special with him and maybe give him one play to sort of have a little bit of fun with? Yeah, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. But honestly, I think that's just asking too much from him, quite frankly, at a time when, you know, prioritizing his development and growth as a linebacker is priority number one. And then number two would be making him a leader of the defense. And then anything else would come after that.
And I think what you might see is the same kind of gimmick or trickery that you'd see an offensive lineman in the backfield, for example. You might see that once or twice, but nothing consistent would be our expectation. Who asked the best question today?
Let's go with the kicker punter one. I thought that was a good one, and I think a lot of people are interested in that.
Andy from Falls Church. Good question about special teams. I like the question about embarrassing Bob Flanders stories, but that was a good thing that got you thinking a little bit about
right.
where Penn State's going with that part of the special teams, especially using a punter in the 2020 class. So Andy, look for a bottle of tailgate wine coming your way. Thanks everybody else for asking your questions. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to download the Keystone Sports app and check us out at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA-preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.